You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where we didn't just survive this year, we thrived in it. I'm your host, Justin Emlesneski, and it's hard to believe we're at the end of 2020. More so, it's hard for me to believe that we're doing another award show for this podcast. We started doing these award shows in 2014, and we're already at another one. This would be the sixth one, I believe, if my math is correct. I hope my math isn't that bad. But with the whole 2020 thing, before, you know, we go into the award show here and everything, and I'll touch on this a little later as well, it kind of bugs me that everyone's kind of trying to limit everything that's happened to the year 2020. I was even hesitant about my opening quip there, because a year is sort of an arbitrary thing, right? When the new year is sort of an arbitrary thing. So a lot to think about as we go into the award show and we reflect on what's happened over the past 12 months. And to do so, and to help me hand out some awards, I'm going to bring in my co-host joining me this trip from Dale's Lawn, identifying as a woman to forgo his white male gay privilege, William Green.
Hello, hello. Yeah, it's, it's weird because of the year to think about the year and to say positive things about it. But, you know, I remember at the beginning saying, like, hey, you know, this is a chance. You know, some people are going to see this struggle and, you know, and sort of go into their shell, right? And others are going to see this as a challenge or an opportunity. And I got kind of like some flack for that online, putting it that way, putting in those terms, like saying, like, hey, this is a chance to, you know, focus on some things you wouldn't normally focus on and improve yourself. Take this opportunity, you know, to do those things. But that's what I did. And, you know, I look back on 2020 and, you know, there's some successes, right? Some big successes for me, despite all the stuff that's going on in the world. So let's not paint with an overbroad brush. We could acknowledge some bad things that happened in 2020 and still celebrate the year. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah. Yeah, well, what you said reminds me of, I know I brought up the show, I don't remember who said it, but I remember this woman, I don't remember who it was exactly, tweeted about how you don't have to come out of quarantine having written the Great American Novel and being in shape. And you know what? That's what I did. I didn't write the Great American Novel, but I wrote a book, The Cut, available now on Amazon or themidside.com/The Cut. Check it out. I wrote a book. And honestly, when I was in quarantine, first of all, there was so little meat available that I was eating a very regimented diet every day because I was kind of rationing my food out. But also I was getting up in the morning, and in order to stay active and to keep myself from falling into a depression, I was doing push-ups, sit-ups, and tricep dips every day, 3 sets in the morning and 3 sets at night. And the food combined with that, I was in pretty good shape coming out of quarantine. So I think that's just a microcosm of it. People setting themselves up for failure, up for failure by just not having the right mentality. It's like you said, beyond the book. I mean, I moved to Florida. My life is amazing. It's a lot better than it would have been if I was still in California. I was at Universal over the summer. You know, I was at Disney in the end of October, and I'll be going again soon once, you know, I get through the new year and the holidays and everything, and I get some time during wrestling season. There are better things, and you can improve life. The question is, do you want to have that mentality, or you just want to accept the way things are? Because I think too many people are just accepting of the way things are, and that worries me about where we go from here.
Yeah, a special shout out. Mike Lang bought me a kettlebell many, many years ago. It's never been lifted so many times. I mean, with no gym to go to here in California, 2020, it's definitely gotten the most mileage that it's ever gotten.
Well, I think the focus on California is the perfect transition into our award show, a perfect transition into our first award. So we're going to head into that. And William, I think you should just hit the hopeful romantic music as we go into the award show. To syndication, broadcast to a network station of people viewing their favorite episodes. I can't.
wasn't focused on.
As always, if you would like to support the show, you can do so through Patreon or Locals. Patreon is per episode. Locals is per month. You can go to themidside.com/Patreon or themidside.com/locals. We appreciate any and all support, including affirmations. Just to let everyone know how the awards work is we give 5 awards that we solicited, we asked for your nominations for to help us figure the past year out. But we're the ones awarding that award. Usually just me, but William helped. He had some really good input. And then there's the final award, the Peak Farce Audience Award, in which you all get to vote on what the most farcical story of the year was. As we go through each of these awards, I'll be telling who the award winners are in the past, and I actually think that's very interesting and warrants some conversation. So let's get into it. The first award that we always give is the Narcissist of the Year Award. I came up with this award because I think the greatest problem in our culture right now is narcissism. And whoever the Narcissist of the Year is tends to exemplify our worst narcissistic tendencies in this country. And the really interesting thing about it is if you look back at the previous award winners, it's pretty... pretty much set up 2020 in a way, William. So 2014, we had the Obamacare architect, Jonathan Gruber. 2015, we had Donald Trump. 2016, we had Hillary Clinton. 2017, we had Donald Trump. 2018, we had CNN. And then 2019, we had Donald Trump. And we even considered renaming the award to the Donald Trump Narcissist of the Year Award. And actually, William, there would be a case for Donald Trump this year again, wouldn't there be?
Yeah, there would be. There would be. I mean, he always makes everything about him. That is his job, right? That's how he rolls, man.
Yeah, and two Midsiders nominated him. We will not be giving him the award, though. So sorry to disappoint all of you Midsiders out there. We're not going to keep that streak going.
I demand a recount. China interference, clearly.
China interference? It's not the voting machines?
Yeah.
Incorrectly tabulated the
incorrect
votes?
Yeah, SurveyMonkey incorrectly tabulated this.
Yeah, it's SurveyMonkey's fault. So some other nominations we have here. Somebody nominated all the celebrities who sang John Lennon's Imagine. That's a pretty good one, William, but that's pretty typical for celebrities, isn't it? Especially on social media.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just that, though, right? Remember the meltdowns people were having? Ellen was having a meltdown because, you know, they were isolating, you know, in their mansions. All the celebrities melting in their mansions.
Well, speaking of meltdowns, coming in late here, maybe Tom Cruise. Did you hear that Tom Cruise rant?
Oh, yeah, it was epic, man. Talk about hostile work environment. Jesus.
Yeah. That was the craziest thing to me. Like, that was what I thought of immediately. I was like, okay, you know, whether his position is right or wrong, like, you don't yell at and threaten your employees in that way. But everyone on Twitter was like, yeah, he's right to do this. People need to take this seriously. And it just shows how far our culture has gone with this social justice stuff. That on one hand, they'll decry hostile work environments, but hostile work environments are okay as long as you're on the good side. I mean, that's the whole punch a Nazi thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's behavior... I've talked about it a bit on Twitter, but there's this expectation if you're in a protected group that you can act uncivil. Like the call to be at, like if you get told as someone in a protected group to act civilly, that's white privilege or some sort of oppression. And so that's the way it's stated. But what that actually means in practice is that you can act uncivilly, right? You're expected. It's so patronizing, right? Like you're expected to act uncivilly, right? Unprofessionally. You're expected to act unprofessionally because you're being oppressed.
Yes, crazy. It shows how inverted it all is. It's like the perfect encapsulation of inversion. You can't even write that. You couldn't even write that. So the rest of the nominations here, we had a couple for Kamala Harris. All I'm going to say about that, William, and let's see if you agree with me, put a pin in that. Hold on to that. I think we may see that coming. Something tells me that's coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, let's see if... See if Biden has something to say about that.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
Okay, Joe. Okay. Whatever you say. And then Gavin Newsom was nominated a couple times. And then here's one other one I want to read. The governors, Wolf, PA, Newsom, California, et al., who are picking winners and losers in the pandemic by whim, showing that even the most farcical of Ayn Rand's villains can't compete with reality. And they accomplish this by trying to claim their whims are science and trying to stop a virus by doing the same things over and over again that aren't working. So then, William, I think this comment is excellent. I want to combine this with the nominations of Gavin Newsom, and I want to highlight Gavin Newsom by giving him this award, but saying he's exemplary of all the governors and elected officials who handled the pandemic as this Midsider suggested. This is an anonymous survey. So Midsider, whoever said that, we're using that. So I think we should give this award to Gavin Newsom. And if you remember, William, I think one of the highlights of this season, as I think back on it, was my epic rant about when Gavin Newsom came out and was like, we're doing this because of science. It's for science. And then he was saying how he was going to oppress people because of science. And then he's continued to do that throughout the year. And it's like...
I mean, science told him he should go to the French Laundry and eat with all those people, right? Science told him
that. And science told Nancy Pelosi to get her hair done when no one else was allowed to.
Yeah, and science said to close all the restaurants down, but then leave the production company's tent serving food in the same manner right across the street, right? Science said that. Science says one is safe, one is unsafe. And then we also had the whole...
Outdoor dining is bad, but outdoor dining, if you're working on a movie set, is not bad, according to science.
Yeah. And then we even got some of the politicians to admit that this was all about keeping people home, right? Not whether it was the activity was safe or not safe. They were trying to basically take away all the things that allow people, that people want to leave the house for, right? The shifting goalposts, right? The whole time. We're supposed to flatten the curve, Justin. We didn't know anything about the virus, Justin. That's how this started. And as it is now, it will never end on the justifications they have.
Correct. And that's the thing. Like, even you're saying all their catchphrases, those catchphrases, and this is where the narcissism comes in. Those catchphrases are just rationalizations for them to do whatever they want to us. You know, I say us, thankfully I'm not in California anymore, but whoever does this to their citizens, those are just rationalizations. They don't really mean them. What they mean is, here's a chance for power. I'm going to take power because I know what's best for you. And that is the ultimate narcissism. That's not ego. That's not self-esteem. That's the complete lack of it. That's the complete lack of it, that you have to force other people to do things so that you're relevant, so that you have a purpose in this world. And that's what makes it narcissistic. You make a global pandemic about you and not about each individual that's dealing with this situation. The next award is the John Rawls Social Justice Warrior Trophy for advancement of a batshit crazy ideology. Now, William, when I look back on these, what we've given, this is crazy to me about where we are nowadays. So in 2015, let's go back even further. Sorry, 2014, I don't know if you remember this, William, there was the BuzzFeed article by the woman, I don't even want to name her, who wrote an article about 12 female characters who keep shaving despite constant peril. And then I got into the Twitter disagreement with her when she said, okay, goofball, as if she wasn't calling me an asshole, like as if she was smarter than me. That was completely exemplary of naturalism versus romanticism and just BuzzFeed doing that. And BuzzFeed's gotten worse since then with the social justice stuff. Then we had a tie in 2015. Bernie Sanders for everything he does, and Yale students for historical revisionism. William, historical revisionism, wasn't there? What was that project this year?
1619, wasn't it?
That's a direct result of 5 years ago, is it not?
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Then we have the Fidel Castro eulogizers. So these people were eulogizing Fidel Castro, one of them being Trudeau, right? And then how are these people acting nowadays?
A lot like Fidel Castro, I'll tell you that.
It's crazy. Then in 2017, we had Antifa, which Antifa became a mainstream thing this year with people claiming they didn't exist. They did exist. But look at all the tactics that existed this year. and all the protests and the riot, weren't those Antifa tactics?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, in that year, we had a lot of impact, personally, people we know, midsiders that we
yes.
know. And then this year, of course, you know, my store was attacked during the riot in Long Beach, and we've had a lot of other people talk about their interactions with Antifa, and it's been crazy. So, yeah, definitely a much bigger impact this year.
Well, yeah, and that's why it's crazy to me. We always talk about, like, you know, politics and everything being downstream from culture. Well, we're seeing it here in these awards we gave out, how there are echoes of this stuff later on that get worse. And the next one's another example of it. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for making socialism cool again. If she had never done that 2 years ago, would we be having the conversations we were having this year?
Well, she certainly put out a nice product line that we talked about. So she's still making splashes today.
Well, she did in 2019 again, where she said, you know, the Green New Deal. And that was a big deal. And I mean, what's Biden? What's one of the biggest things Biden's going to try and do, he said, in his presidency?
Make us
go forward with that environmental stuff.
Well, CO2 is a pollutant, so you know, stop breathing, Justin.
Well, and that's my ultimate point I've said about all of this. You know, I actually said that back in college: save the world, kill yourself. Right? I mean, that's the only way to really save the world. I mean, how do you really stop the virus, William? What's the number one way to stop the virus?
Stop living. No hosts.
Right.
No virus.
End all of humanity.
Yep.
That's the only way you can stop it. Okay. So this award was kind of tough. I didn't think there was really a clear-cut winner, so we talked about it a little bit pre-show. But here are some of the nominations from the Midsiders. All the people at Spotify protesting Joe Rogan. That's a pretty good one, William.
Yeah, it is. And I think they're still protesting him. I mean, how... If you have a product and you're part of that product is putting out other people's ideas, and you expect to 100% agree with all of their ideas, I don't think you'll ever, you can't even be an editor, right? It's like attacking the purpose of what you're doing. It's so anti, like, why the company exists, and it just exemplifies the social justice attitude, right? Companies aren't about making a product. They're about their political cause, and that's sad.
Well, the agreement thing is a really good point, William, because I say it to my students all the time. Who's the only person you're going to agree with 100% in your life?
You?
Yeah, yourself. And you may not even agree with yourself from yesterday. Yeah. So it's a stupid standard. It's an unrealistic standard to say, oh, hey, you have to agree with me 100% of the time. We have somebody else nominated, two people nominated AOC. Sorry, we're not going to give it to her again, although it's pretty funny that she's still out there in the culture. Somebody said people who require masks while outside exercising. I just think people who require masks while exercising, I'll take that a step further. I mean, we could even give it to that manager at the gym at Planet Fitness, who when I walked 3 feet to the right didn't have a mask on and told me I had to have a mask on, and I immediately stop going to that gym. Anyone who requires you to wear a mask while working out is not thinking contextually. They're just following rationalistic rules. Because if the point is to be healthy, why would you want to have someone put something on that's obstructing their breathing while working out? That's anti-health. If the point of this is health, why would you have someone doing something anti-health? So you could just say that in general. You could even say people who, you know, say outdoor dining is bad and things like that. Or, you know, you can't walk around Disney or Universal outside with your mask on. You know, you can maybe understand being in line and inside a show building, inside a ride building with your mask on, but outside? So you could broaden that a lot. Someone said Dr. Fauci for saying handshakes are bad. How about, William, Dr. Fauci for just like everything he said about the pandemic?
Well, masks don't work until they did work. and then... Yeah, things were
under
control.
What about the fact that the virus doesn't spread during riots, but it spreads during protests of the lockdowns?
Yeah, that's true. All those things are true. We're just following the science, Justin.
The science should get an award this year. The science should get an award. a couple other ones. Somebody said Black Lives Matter sympathizers. And somebody said Kamala Harris for when she tweeted out about equity versus equality. You remember we discussed that?
Yeah.
But we're going to take all of that and we're going to go at it from a different angle because I think, and it was brought about by, you know, William suggesting something, I think there was a much bigger, forceful impact, and it's sort of an echo of Colin Kaepernick, and I think we'll see it echoed into the future as well, where we see how are we going to deal with professional sports and how are professional sports going to deal with the culture going forward. Professional sports for the so the John Rawls Social Justice Warrior Trophy for the advancement of a batshit crazy ideology in 2020 is professional sports for uniform virtue signaling. We're of course talking about the NBA put different words on the back of their jersey while in the bubble, things like freedom or education reform, or my favorite was equality. So it literally
I liked group economics personally.
That was a good one too. But I liked equality because it was like someone was the main character from Anthem. Like they didn't even get the irony of it.
No, not at all.
And then William, you were critiquing the NFL's uniforms, right?
Yeah, the NFL, they were putting the supposed victims of police brutality. And I say that with certainty. I didn't bother to look up the person, but I remember the one I saw was the guy who was quite literally Facebook live streaming drive-by shootings with an S, multiple ones, who got killed by the cops during a live stream, actually, that he was doing. And that is supposedly a victim of police brutality. And there's an NFL player somewhere wearing that name on the back of their helmet.
Right. And that's why this is batshit crazy, because look, William, can you agree with me? Do you agree? I'm just going to ask you this question straight out. There is a problem with police brutality in this country.
Yes. The militarization of police is a problem.
100%. We agree with that. And it's tragic seeing anyone brutalized by the police. It's tragic when you see minorities brutalized by the police. It's tragic when you see these people who, even if they've done something wrong, aren't given their day in court because they're brutalized first before they're given their day in court, right? That's what the Constitution's built upon. But we're not having any discussions about, as William just said, the militarization of the police. We're not having discussions about, well, who are these people who are being shot? We're acting like everyone who gets shot is an upstanding citizen and that it's just police in general that are bad. So when professional sports does this, it does two things. One, it continues this shallow surface level conversation that we have where everything is just saying a catchphrase or a slogan. And people who've listened to this show from the beginning know I hate catchphrase philosophy. I even hate catchphrase objectivists, right? That's where I first came up with it. You have to understand the ideas and talk about it on a deep level to actually have real conversations about this stuff and have real change happen. That's how you have real change. And the second thing it does is it breaks down the barrier between politics and everything else, and it has this Marxist approach of every act is a political act. So now playing a sport is a political act. You can't play in the NFL or NBA without making a political statement now. And it's dangerous that we're
going that way. Soon you won't be able to take a shit without shouting some Black Lives Matter slogan.
Right. So that's why we gave it this award. And it'll be interesting to see if it continues to echo through the culture. What will the echo be in 2 years from now of this? Will the Washington football team be renamed to? They were the Redskins. The Cleveland Indians, what will they be renamed to? Right? Will we have the Cleveland Reformers? Right?
The Cleveland the Washington Group Economics.
You were going to the same place I was going. I was going to say the Washington Equity, right? Where is this going to go? So something to keep an eye on. The next award is the Tom Brady Medal for Greatness in the Face of Doubters. This is, of course, created because Tom Brady built his career and his life on being doubted. He was never supposed to be good. He was a 6th-round draft pick. He was the 4th-string quarterback on the Patriots, yet he became the greatest football player of all time. So, appropriately, he received the first two awards. And then in 2016, another mid-side favorite received the award. Zack Snyder received it for the Ultimate Edition of Batman versus Superman. And again, we're still seeing the effects of this to this day, right? He was given it for that because everyone talked about how horrible the theatrical cut of Batman versus Superman was. Then the Ultimate Edition came out. And now even today, people were saying, oh yeah, actually the Ultimate Edition was really, really good. And we saw how that led to the whole Snyder cut thing. 2017, we gave it to the anonymous creator of Bitcoin. And William, holy shit, Bitcoin, man, this year.
Yeah. I think it's up 150%. What's it worth right now? Something like that. I think it's 150% up over the year.
I didn't buy it in 2017 because it was too expensive and I had slept on it, because I heard on when it first came out and I wish I had bought on it. But even if you had bought it in 2017, you'd be rich right now. I mean, wow. And then 2018, it was given to Brett Kavanaugh for his Supreme Court nomination hearing performance. Just the way he was vulnerable and honest and acted with integrity, even though the entire world was coming down upon him. We have seen few people, even in the 2 years since, act that well, act that respectably when they've been attacked by social justice. So hats still go off to him. And then another repeat winner in 2019, we gave it to Zack Snyder for November 17th, 2019, which was the two-year anniversary of the release of Justice League in theaters. And there was a huge day to promote release the Snyder Cut, which this year we saw that led to the Snyder Cut's going to be released likely in March of this year. The date I'm hearing is March 25th. I don't know how true that is, but it's most assuredly March. And that was because of that day in 2019. And, you know, no one ever said that was going to happen, certainly not in 3 years. I didn't think it would happen so quickly. That in 2020, we'd be hearing about that movie. I mean, that's crazy. So then the question becomes, William, who will it be this year? So some of the nominees we have.
A lot of good ones this year. A lot of good nominees this year.
Well, yes. The good nominees, though, are not Tom Brady.
Someone
I don't know who gave
Tom
it to Tom Brady. You no.
Well, I saw
also
someone,
Aaron Rodgers.
No. Yes, yeah, so, someone did nominate Elon Musk, and you know, there's a look at all the things that happened. They launched astronauts, private rocket company launched astronauts for the first time. They've been testing the Starship. They had a pretty successful test, which ended in a RUD, rapid unscheduled disassembly. So sure. Tesla's been taking off. People still
and they're moving.
And they're moving to Texas. Yeah, all the things he's been saying about freedom in California. So, Elon Musk, still a mixed guy, right? But, like, hey, gotta call it out when you see the good shit, right?
Yeah, he certainly, that was a great nomination. Somebody nominated Bitcoin, which we would give it, except we already gave it in 2017, right? Same thing. Somebody else nominated Zack Snyder for the announcement of the Snyder Cut. Yeah. Again, we gave that last year, so we're not going to give it again. And, I mean, come on. Zack Snyder's got, what, two movies coming out next year? He's got the inside track for the Romantic Manifestation Award in 2021.
Someone else also nominated Alex Epstein. All the work he's been doing. There's a big push with the, you know, less energy-friendly administration taking over. Fighting the good fight for fossil fuels.
And with that, William, with what you just said, same thing I said about Kamala Harris, I think we'll see more from Alex Epstein over the next few years than we've seen in his entire life. Yeah. So let's hold on to that award for him. I think he might earn it in the next couple of years. Somebody said Joe Rogan for giving an FU to his detractors inside Spotify in the form of interviewing Alex Jones. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Somebody else said the founding fathers of the United States and the United States in general. They kind of did that like over 200 years ago. I mean, I don't disagree. But here's the one that I thought was, I didn't even think of this. I wouldn't have thought of this. So the midsider that suggested this, thank you, because I think this is a great nomination. And I think it shows this person's intellectual growth over the past, you know, 5 years. And also, I think, again, he can be exemplary of many of us in this culture this past year. Dr. Drew, for his rationality in the face of the culture on the topic of the pandemic. And William, I think from the beginning, Dr. Drew was saying this wasn't as bad as people say it is. And they were reaming him in the beginning, weren't they?
They kicked him off CNN. I mean, he had already sort of lost his CNN headline news gig, his regular one. But yeah, they won't even have him on anymore.
Yeah, and now he does the show with Adam Carolla, where Adam Carolla just rails against Gavin Newsom and everything. I mean, Adam Carolla was on TMZ talking about how irrational it is banning outdoor dining and how Newsom's out of control. And now there's a maybe you can update me on this. There's a recall effort on Gavin Newsom. How's that going?
I don't know the latest on it, but I do know that they're out gathering signatures to recall him. So that's
right.
That's
so this would not be possible if there were not people like Dr. Drew way back in the beginning saying what he was saying and staying consistent and trying to be as honest as possible. You know, I don't agree with him on every point he makes about the pandemic and about life in general, but he tries to be as honest as possible, except when it comes to race, right? He gets a little weaselly when it comes to race. But he's been as honest as possible with that. So he gets the Tom Brady Medal for greatest in the face of doubters. And he is exemplary of all of us who haven't been afraid to say the pandemic isn't as bad as we're being told. Yes, I am subtly saying, William, that Dr. Drew gets this award as exemplary of myself early in this season. Do you remember, though? How many people did they say were going to die, William?
It was 30 million. What was it? It was some ridiculous number.
It was 1 million to 2 million people.
Yeah. 3 million. That's what was stuck in my head. 3 million. They were saying 3 million.
Is it even close to a million yet?
No.
And remember when I said that was absurd and we lost listeners because of it?
Yeah. Maybe we should tweet at those listeners. We should have recorded the millionth death by now, right?
Yeah, I tried that, not on that, but for the Clemson-Notre Dame game, because everyone was like, oh, Notre Dame's going to kill Clemson. So I did that remind me thing where you tweeted that account, and I was like, oh, remind me in 11 days about somebody who tweeted that. And then after we destroyed them last night, like I was pretty sure we were going to, I tweeted at him. I was like, you know, how did that beating Clemson thing go? And he didn't respond. That's the narcissism of it, right? And it would be the same thing with these listeners we lost. We could call them out on it, and they would be like, oh, whatever, we're still right, and we're not going to listen to you ever again. And that's the ridiculous thing of everything.
We had a lot of people that were triggered. Maybe some of you listening now were of those people that were triggered, right? And all seriousness, it'd be great. You know, join the Discord and talk about it, because understanding, like, at least for me, understanding that mindset, like how you got out of it. I mean, I'm sure there's things in my own life that I need to think about and challenge myself in, but it's, you know, the kind of emotional response, the unable to discuss alternative views, like what a dark place to be in, right? And it's just,
I'll tell you how to get out of it. Are you ready? This is how you get out of it. You fucking go outside and you observe things with your five senses, okay? Yeah. This is why one of the best things Ayn Rand wrote was that man is capable of understanding reality. Because one of the biggest attacks on man is the idea that, oh, we all have different perceptual tools. So, you know, you see the color blue different from me. You see blue where I may see green. Okay, there may be some variance, right? Just like cameras have different sensitivities and so on and so forth with technologies. They can be calibrated differently. But you can understand reality. So the best way to get outside of all of this stuff and be able to accept alternative viewpoints is don't tie up your identity in it by going outside and observing reality with your five senses and say, that's what I observe. And if somebody can teach me how to observe it better, or they're more skilled at observing it, or they're more skilled at communicating their observation, that's not an insult to you. That's just, oh, yeah, okay, I understand reality better. And that's the problem most people fucking have.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the entire pandemic, William, is I have never gone outside and seen people dying in the streets. I have never gone outside and seen people suffering. I'm not saying there aren't people suffering, but I'm saying to be treating this the way we're treating it, it doesn't make sense. Because when you go outside, it's not like that. And you encounter people. I've encountered a lot of people who have it or have had it. And it's not what people are saying it out to be. So I have to follow the logical consequences from that. Does that make sense?
Yep, makes sense.
And we're going to get into this more in a couple awards. But first of all, two more awards given by us. The second is the Zack Snyder Awesomeness Award. This award was created because Zack Snyder calls everything awesome. And we wanted to give an award to just something awesome that happened in the last year. Something that deserves to be praised for happening, for existing. And by the way, we started these awards in 2014, so all these Johnny-come-lately Zack Snyder fans, like, we've been on to him in the way he speaks since 2014. Okay, so in 2014, we gave it to Firestone for fighting Ebola in Africa more effectively than any government did. Wow, talk about that one echoing through the years, William.
Yeah, seriously.
2015, Carrie Fisher for her defense of slave Leia. If she did that in 2020, they would have killed her, even though she's already dead. 2016, Uber and Lyft leaving Austin after the city passes anti-rideshare regulations. And then that almost happened in California.
Yeah, yeah.
2017 was the New England Patriots for their comeback in Super Bowl 51, which, of course, they came back from 28-3 against the Atlanta Falcons. And funny enough, today, the day we're recording this, Tom Brady's Tampa Bay Buccaneers were down 17-0 to the Atlanta Falcons at halftime and won the game.
Oh, man.
2018, we have Dave Rubin for standing up to Patreon and creating Locals, and that's why we eventually have a Locals. We eventually created a Locals account as well, because the only way to get around this culture that's being created is we have to create infrastructure that is agnostic to people's views. 2019, the Hong Kong protesters. How ironic is that, William?
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. I mean, things have only gotten worse over there.
Yeah, but they've only gotten worse over here, too.
Yeah, true.
Okay, so other nominations for the Zack Snyder Awesomeness Award for this year. Nominations for this year. Somebody nominated The Last Dance miniseries documentary about the Chicago Bulls. Somebody nominated the people who were able to create viable vaccines for SARS-CoV-2 within days of having the appropriate data. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's really awesome.
100%. But that also has the inverse side of, fuck you, government. They created it in February, and we are just getting the vaccine now. The Mid-Side Hopeless Romantic segment. Thank you.
Thank you. And it's, Thank you, listeners, for that.
But it's hopeful, romantic, hopeful, not hopeless. We're not hopeless. We're hopeful. Zack Snyder. I mean, we can't give every award to Zack Snyder, guys. Come on. SpaceX for Starship development and its cultural inspiration.
Yeah, it's been an impressive year for SpaceX, and yeah, I think next year is going to be a big year for SpaceX, and if we see, you know, with Starlink internet coming online and we see the first real launch of a Starship, it's going to be pretty fucking amazing.
Then we had Jeff Bezos. So good to see, you know, somebody supporting one of these people who have created infrastructure that helped us, especially during this pandemic. Imagine what this pandemic would have been like without Amazon, William.
Yeah. Wow. I don't want to.
All right. The next one is Woke JP. This is a comedian on YouTube. And he's got pretty good videos skewering the current culture.
I love watching.
Yeah, he's good. But he doesn't like only go after the woke culture, right? He goes after it a lot, but he goes after the right as well.
He does. I think just the dry delivery, and he's obviously like in real life pretty hippie, but like just the self awareness, he sort of like turns it on to up to 11, and it's funny, and it's always very biting, good satire.
Yeah, I didn't like him at first because his delivery is a little awkward, but he's gotten better over the years. So. Yeah. Hats off to Woke JP. Next nomination is everyone defying lockdown and masking orders, taking ownership over their own life. Yeah, that's a good one. Can't disagree with that.
Justin trying but to give to himself another award.
Hey. I did not submit any of these nominations. Just because I have found a group of people who think like I do, okay? The next nomination is the one that I ended up accepting. And I think it's brilliant. I wouldn't have really thought about it otherwise. I should have, because if anyone remembers a solo episode I did, the last solo episode I did this season, was one of the topics was all about this. Nolan for pushing to release Tenet in theaters during global lockdowns. I think this is huge, William. It was right before the opening of the theaters. It was right when the theaters opened in Florida for me. It started me going back to the movies. And it was someone who was saying, you know what? It doesn't matter about the money. This is something I value. Christopher Nolan highly values the movie theater experience. And he tried to make that happen with the best way, the best tool he had available was the movie he made. So here was somebody who was supporting his values in the best way he could amid the pandemic, and he was dealing with the reality of it, right? I know that Christopher Nolan knows this is a joke. I know he knows this is over the top. So the fact that he was willing to do that, I think speaks very highly of his moral character, and we've seen this battle continue since with WB pushing everything to HBO Max for next year and Christopher Nolan taking them to task for it. It's interesting that he tried to get ahead of that. I am very impressed with Christopher Nolan, more than I have been in my entire life.
Congratulations, Mr. Nolan.
All right, the final award we have to give out before the audience award is the Romantic Manifestation Award. This is an award given for the best work of romantic art made in the past year. And actually, again, we have some past ones that we can say a little bit about. We have 2014, we gave it to Christopher Nolan for Interstellar. That's still a better movie than Tenet. Brian Fuller for Hannibal. Unfortunately, Brian Fuller over the past 4 years got Trump derangement syndrome, so we haven't seen great work from him.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't change him. Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't change him for life. So hopefully we get more good work from him in the future, but who knows? 2016 was Damien Chazelle for La La Land. That work, William, the more I think about it, the more I see it, it just continues to grow in how subtle it is and how intelligent it is. Patty, in 2017, we gave it to Patty Jenkins for Wonder Woman, particularly the No Man's Land scene where Wonder Woman, crossed the No Man's Land between the two warring sides in World War One. And something interesting just came out about this movie. Apparently, the final fight in Wonder Woman was even changed by the studio. Also, probably Geoff Johns. And the number one thing I critiqued that movie for was the third act. I said the first two acts were very good, but then you get to the end and it just becomes terrible. Especially that line of like, it doesn't matter what a person deserves. I believe in love. That's completely incompatible with all of Snyder's work. It's completely incompatible with the DCEU that was made before then. And it looks like even that was put in there to change that movie. So even though we gave it for the good parts of it, not the parts of it that were ruined. 2018, Brad Bird for Incredibles 2. 2019, M. Night Shyamalan for Glass. That, I think, still resonates. Go watch that movie. That movie speaks a lot about like a secret group that's in control of things and telling us we can't be great and greatness isn't possible. Talk about something that's relevant for the year 2020, William. Isn't there been a lot of conversations about like there's an elite controlling the culture? We don't have to talk about election rigging, but hasn't there been a lot of conversation about that?
Yeah, there has. Yeah, we have just the amount of control, right? That we're seeing in people's lives. People are bristling, and that's good.
Yeah, and M. Night was, he was ahead of that, so good for him. So this year, what were the nominations for this year? Somebody said, I can't think of anything for this. That's how abysmal this year has been. That was certainly my immediate reaction, William, when I was like, how am I going to give a Romantic Manifestation Award? Could you think of anything off of the top of your head?
For me, I liked, I had to give an honorable mention for the Mandalorian.
Well, no, we're not there yet. I'm just saying at first, when you first thought of the award, was there anything that jumped out to you?
Oh, no. I think that the distraction and then the inability to have a lot of new content was just palpable this year, right? I mean, I kept going back to some of my old standards, right? I think I told you a couple weeks ago, I just watched Sucker Punch again, and I watched, of course, on the 5th of November, I watched V for Vendetta, and kind of going back to my staples for the spiritual fuel I need. There was not a lot of new stuff coming out.
Yeah, and for me, it was okay because I'm dealing with moving across the country and starting a new life, so it would have been tough for me to engage with this stuff. But yeah, so some of the other nominees... somebody said not 1917, not even a close race, probably the best of 2019 too. I honestly haven't seen that, but I would still consider it a 2019 nomination. Somebody said Quigley Down Under with Tom Selleck. Everyone, the award is for things that were released in the past year. That's a very old movie. Same thing. Somebody said Cobra Kai. I know Cobra Kai came to Netflix recently, but that's been out for a while. And we talked about it on the show, didn't we, William?
Yeah, we did. We gave it a ringing endorsement.
Yeah. A couple people brought up Zack Snyder. Again, hold off on that to next year. Somebody said the Dodgers World Series win. While I appreciate the fact of considering sports romantic, I will never give an LA team anything.
All right.
Rhythm of War, which I did not see. Hymn for the Romanticists was a short story written by one of our midsiders, Luke Fitzpatrick. So you can go check that out. It's only a dollar. It's about 60 pages on Amazon. It's a pretty good story. I read that. I would recommend it. Another one that I know you want to give an honorable mention to, William.
Yeah, yeah.
The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
That was nominated.
That was nominated. The new season came out this year, obviously. It ended well. And it gets an honorable mention. The show isn't great. And this is not criticizing. It is what it is. It's good. What it's doing, though, is taking the Disney Lucasfilm mess, the social justice mess, the Rian Johnson mess, and bringing it back into a romantic, bringing out of naturalism into romanticism. And it's doing a pretty good job of it. And I think it gets an honorable mention for that reason. It's pushing it back against this incredible social justice and naturalism tide, right? And there's only one thing to say about that. It's a great honorable mention, and of course I gotta drop this. So, what do you think, Justin?
I only watched The Mandalorian for Bill Burr, so I watched in the second season when somebody told me Bill Burr was on, and I watched the episode and I enjoyed it, although he's kind of just Bill Burr being Bill Burr. I'm not a Star Wars guy, so the day when Star Wars blows me away, it will win this award. But it really has to blow me away. I don't hate The Mandalorian. Like, if someone was like, we're going to have a party and watch The Mandalorian, come over with all your friends, I'd watch it with everyone. But it's just not something, like, I'm going to go out of my way to watch. Another honorable mention I would like to give is the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Did you see that movie, William?
I did. I think that was... Let's see. I think that was one of the last movies that I watched in the theater. I think it was. When did it come out? I think I managed to see it in the theater.
February, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was the last movie I saw in the theater.
The last movie I saw in the theater was before, because you're still in California, because I saw New Mutants was the first movie I saw back in theaters. Yeah. But the last movie I saw was that, what was that Vin Diesel one?
I don't know.
It was the action one. I can't remember what it was called.
Fast and the Furious.
It was decent. Yeah, I would see that, though. Add more ERs to it. Okay, so yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog I thought was pretty good. It was a lot better than I expected it to be. I thought it was going to be terrible, and then I saw that. I was like, hey, this is pretty good. It's pretty entertaining. It's got a pretty good point to it. There's not a lot of stuff that's made like this. It even had a lot of echoes of Man of Steel in it. It was basically Man of Steel for kids. So that's a good movie. I'd recommend that movie. Still not the best movie of the year that I saw. I am going to give this award to Dan Scanlon for Onward. This is a movie I think flew under the radar because it came out right when the pandemic hit, so it was only in theaters for a little bit. Also, it sort of walks this line of being pro-masculinity. You know, I had this debate with Daniel when he was still on the show. Is it saying that what's missing from the world is masculinity? That's how I read it. I don't know if that's intentional on the author's part, on Scanlon's part, but it's definitely about missing that beauty in the world, missing that magic. I mean, it's literally, that's the metaphor, right? Magic. There's magic missing in the world. What makes life worth living is magic. And that's the romantic element of this movie. He's trying to recapture, by finding his dad and having a day with him, trying to recapture that, you know, that missing part of the world, that life is enjoyable and you can succeed and be happy and be assertive. I cried the first time I saw it. The second time I saw it, you know, it brought tears to my eyes. I think it's a phenomenal movie. It's one of my favorite Pixar movies ever. Never in my life did I think we'd be giving this award to another Pixar movie. You know, we've now given it to Brad Bird for Incredibles 2, which I liked more than Incredibles 1.
Yeah.
And now we're giving it to Dan Scanlon for Onward. So, you know, good job. I appreciate it. If you haven't seen Onward, I would highly suggest seeing it. And as we go into 2021, I think Zack Snyder's got the inside track for this award. All right, let's move on to our final award, the Peak Farce Audience Award. And as we said a couple weeks ago, there was only really two news stories that could ever cover this, William. This yeah. could ever only ever be the news cycle, or sorry, the election cycle, and it, or the pandemic. And I think one of the voters said it the best way possible. The election cycle is what it is every year. It's always absurd. It's always farcical. So the audience voted, and I think they voted very well, that the Peak Farce Audience Award goes to the pandemic coverage. And we're not going to give it to any specific media. Award. Go ahead.
I was going to say, congratulations, media. You earned it again.
Yeah. Right, and we're not going to give it to any specific story. I said award, story. Because there were too many farcical stories, from the way everyone behaved, all the governors and everything, to all the different twists and turns in this year. I just, like, when you think back, William, and the coverage and the conversation, like, what do you think about when you think of Peak Farce?
I think about the sort of blatant inconsistencies, right? Like, just, like, complete lack of, like, remembering what was talked about like 5 minutes ago, right? It's just everything down the memory hole. That's really what it came down to for me.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. It's a great way. I'm nodding my head furiously here while you're talking about that. That's 100% true. The way things would fluctuate. Like one week it was like, oh, animals can't get it. And the next week was even in your house, you have to quarantine from your cats because you could spread it to your cats and they could spread it to other people. And that was like within a week of each other. Like they were just writing stories to write stories. And to me, I think of like the idea of pre-existing conditions and what a pre-existing condition means. And the idea that you can't call being obese if for a pre-existing condition. And this wasn't, you know, to me, this revealed like if you live healthily, when something like this happens, it better enables you to survive. But we couldn't say that. In the same sense, William, the idea of what an essential worker is, like who defines essential?
Yeah. Essential right? to whom? Yeah,
it's essential, and it ultimately just means the government defining as essential. Like to me, as a teacher, the idea that they define teachers as an essential profession, like okay, yeah, long term, I believe it's essential. That's why I do it, right? But everything's essential long term in that same sense. And when we're talking about the pandemic, aren't we talking about short term? Isn't this supposed to be a short-term thing? So there's no discussion of what essential is. So there's just so much craziness with this coverage that I don't think it's a surprise that most of our awards had to do with the pandemic. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yep. Definitely dominated the 2020.
Right. Oh, and that's what... Thank you. That reminded me. That's what I wanted to say. And if we're not careful, William, it's going to dominate the 2021 too. I hate this mentality where like people are like, oh, 2020 is a difficult year. And we've had this sort of mentality for a few years now, right? Oh man, 2018 is killing so many celebrities that I love. Oh no, fuck 2018, right? I think it was it 2018 where I said fuck 2018?
Yeah.
Because I'm just so sick of this mentality that this arbitrary unit of time that we've created to mark the passing of our lives. And I don't mean the passing of our lives in a negative sense. I mean, we need the concept of time to be able to track progress and improve and grow and get better and enjoy our lives legitimately. But we use the arbitrariness of it to take control away from ourselves and to act like it's almost like astrology where it's like, oh, you're a Capricorn. Oh, well, this says this, this and this about you. Oh, that happened in the year 2020. It must be bad. So it's like the second clock strikes midnight on January 1st, 2021, all this is going to go away, right? How are people going to deal with the fact that this is going to continue into 2021? Are they going to hope after 2 months, January and February, that this goes away again? And when we hit March 2021, it's going to go back to the way it was ahead of time? I just don't understand the mentality, William.
I think that there's a certain group of people who were like, sort of living in the dreamland where the consequences, and I don't mean like the consequences of the people passing, which is sad and you have to deal with those, but the consequences of this, of the government control and the lockdowns were just going to go away the moment the vaccine was widely available. And I think people are starting to wake up to the fact that that's not what's going to happen, right? If anything, we're going to see this science, quote unquote, being applied to things like global warming and racism. And I mean, shouldn't white people be forced to stay home, Justin, to combat systemic racism? I mean, you could just spread it, right? The systemic racism can be spread, you know.
Well, yeah, we had this.
You should
wear
this
story about
the equivalent of a mask. What would be the equivalent of the social? You should wear like a Black Lives Matter. Should be compelled to wear a Black Lives Matter memorabilia.
Well, now you're in the Harrison Bergeron territory, where like people who are smarter have to have the buzzer in their head so they can't think as fast, right? And we had the story this year. Remember the climate lockdown story?
Yeah.
The idea that we're going to have to lock down to save the climate. Like, we're already used to lockdown, so why don't we lock down to save the climate? Well, you're right. They can apply that same logic to race. Well, you know, why don't 2 months of the year all the white people lock down to let, you know, every other race can do whatever they want in the world and get ahead while the white people have to stay static for two months. You could see people saying that.
It's the purge meets Evergreen College.
Right. 100%. 100%. And it sounds crazy that we're saying it, but is it that crazy? Is it that crazy?
William, my degree from FU says you are 100% correct.
Thank you.
All right. That's a good drop to end on. Although, did you get the EC3 drop that I emailed to you?
No, sorry. New computer.
Damn it.
I didn't do it.
That's all right. That would have been a good way to end this year, but we can play it at the beginning of next year, maybe, if I remember. But let's put a cap on everything. Let's put a bow on it. What did you learn this year, William?
Wow. What did I learn this year? I learned just how resilient I am and those people that I've chosen to be close to me are. The amount of resiliency I've seen in, you know, my professional friends and then my personal friends and all those I care about has been just inspiring. Justin, what did you learn this year?
I learned just how awesome of a state Florida is, and I wish I had realized just how awesome it was earlier. I truly believe it's the best state in the country right now when you combine freedom with things to do and a climate and everything. I'm so glad I'm here and I'm not in California, and I really think I made the best choice for my life. So, as always, want to thank you all for listening, especially listening over this entire season. We're going to take about a month off. We usually do that at the beginning of the year. I've got some logistical things to take care of in order to, you know, keep going, moving into a bigger apartment. My fiance is finally getting out of California, so I'm going to take care of that. Hopefully we come back the first week in February. If not, it'll be like a week after that. We'll see the way things go because, you know, I do have wrestling season and everything. But thank you for listening over this past year. It means a lot. I think it really, you know, this show started as sort of a way to cope with living in California, and it sort of became a way to cope with the world of the pandemic. And I think we found a lot of good people this year that weren't around before. So we lost some people. We lost some midsiders, but we got some other midsiders back. So appreciate that. As always, appreciate you libertarians. We're cross-posted on Liberty.me. Appreciate all of you out there. Yeah, I appreciate people like Midsider Ronnie. Met him this year. That was an awesome experience. Awesome, awesome meeting Midsider Ronnie. Let's see. If you want to buy my novel, The Cut, you can do so at themidside.com/The Cut. You know, it's a fictionalization of what happened behind the scenes during the production of Justice League. You can get an autographed copy. You can get just a normal paperback. You can get any digital format, you know, EPUB, PDF, Kindle. T-shirts are available at midside.com/store. If you want to support us, you can do so at Patreon or Locals, midside.com/Patreon, midside.com/Locals. And as always, the best way to support the show is to tell a friend. And honestly, that's not the best way to support the show. That's the best way to support your life. That's the best way to support my life. We're going to need, and I don't mean that in the bad way, I mean in the good way, we're going to need each other going forward. Because I think we're in for a battle. We're in for a battle here. We're in for a battle. This concludes your journey into the midside. I'm Justin Mlazeski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a happy Christmas and a merry new year. Just
I can't hear anything. I mean, I lost the outro music, and I don't hear anything from you.
Okay. You lost the outro music.
Yeah, it just stopped playing for me.
Oh, okay. It played through it.
That's fine. I mean, it's good that this happened on the last show of the year. You got a month to fix everything, yeah. Right?
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna check one setting. I think I know what might be happening. There's a gain setting. It might have automatically determined.
Hit the lights is way too hardcore for your program. Yeah.